Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Hello, hello, hello. Well, people, if you can hear me, this is JT, a.k.a. The Master. We've had problems with Blog Talk Radio, so I'm not sure how long this broadcast is going to last, but we're going to go as far as we can. Was touch and go to see if we can get on. I do have another caller on here. Let me give out the number to call in, 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the number to call in. If you'd like to talk to me, we're going to be talking about a few things, and hope you can get online and we can talk. Caller from the Skype. Who have I got on here? Jeff, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
I got a call from Skype, but apparently no one's there. Let me hang up from this person. Hey Jeff, how you doing, man? I'm still got a message sitting up here. What the thing I text you is still sitting up here, so I have no idea how I got on. I just took a shot just before the I thought the show was going to go on, and we're here. So for as long as it's going to be, we're going to try to go press on with the show and see what happens. I have no idea what the heck Block Talk Radio is doing, but it is what it is.
And that's all it will be.
Yeah? What can I tell you? How you been?
I'm okay. Yourself?
I wanted to load a few things onto the site, and I couldn't do it because it froze up, and then it knocked me off, and I couldn't get back in, and I just took a shot, like I said, about a minute before the show was supposed to go on, and I'm in. So the things I wanted to get loaded aren't here, and it is what it is. One of the things I wanted to talk about was the tragedy. The absolutely nonsensical and gutless act that took place on Monday, on the Boston Marathon. Just to look at the pictures and recount something that some jerks decided to do. At a day that was supposed to be a day of celebration from a historic city, and it had to be marred by the tragedy that took place with a few people lives getting taken, and over 100 people injured, and injured in limbs and other things being torn from their body. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we're both from the New York area, and
yep.
Can't believe it's about 12 years ago. You know, we had a worse tragedy, if that's possible, just based on the casualties. And believe me, you don't forget stuff like that, you know.
Right.
And believe
right.
me, I remember that day very well. I
mm-hmm.
mean, just small details. I remember what I was doing when I found out that the first tower was hit by a plane. At that point, they thought it was just a plane accident, you know. They didn't realize what it was. And then the other tower got hit, and then all the grim details. And, you know, I mean, I was working straight line distance, which if you live in the New York area, that's a joke.
Straight line distance
has nothing to do with your actual travel time. Straight line distance, I was probably only about 10 miles away. I mean, that 10 miles would take you 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I was close enough where we could smell the after effect, you know. I mean, it wasn't like he had a stick, but you could smell that there was something in the air. And the office where I was based out of at the time was right next to the parking lot for a train station. And needless to say, you know, the train station was shut down for a while. And unfortunately, there were a few cars left in that train station for about a week, and I guess those people never made it home, and eventually somebody came for those cars. And, a guy I knew from my hometown, he was one of the casualties. And, I mean, I didn't know him well, but I knew him, and I knew him well enough to know, you want to talk about sad, his wife was expecting.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And then a few years ago, they had something on the cover of People magazine, I think it was, about there were a few other women like his widow who had been expecting, and they were on the cover of People magazine, and that was his widow, unfortunately. Yeah, I mean, that just was a major tragedy. And, you know, it just, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know where to begin. It just, you know, I work late nights, and I wake up, you know, I sleep in the middle, you know, like late morning, early afternoon usually, and I wake up around 2:30, and that's what I woke up to. Not good.
Right. My brother, fiance, was in one of those towers, and it was a gut-wrenching last text that she gave him before he or gave a friend to tell him that she knew that the tower was going down and there was no way out. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's it was really gut-wrenching. Took a while for my youngest brother, the very youngest of the family, to get over that because.
Oh, I can imagine.
That was pretty.
For people like us who live close to New York, I mean, it almost everybody. You know somebody who it affected closely. I mean,
sure.
A friend of the family, he got married a few years before. There were six of his friends were in his wedding party. He worked in the financial field. But his groomsmen, four of the six died that day.
Wow.
You know, this guy, you know, I mean, he had enough to deal with his life without losing four of his close friends.
Sure.
You know, and there were a lot of the guys who worked in the tower worked in the financial field.
Sure, yeah, oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, but it was all kinds of folks, you know. It was, not just, stockbrokers. It was secretaries and, in a building, there's all kinds of people working there, you know, maintenance and this and that. And then this was really sick. It was a faker, somebody who became a very prominent survivor. And you can look this up on YouTube. Her name was Tanya Head, and sickening stuff. And, you know, so this woman kind of becomes spokesperson for the survivors, and then it gets exposed. She wasn't even there. She wasn't even in the country, you know?
Wow. Is that right?
I mean, how sick is that? That's even worse than Manti Te'o, because at least,
sure.
You know, he made up a story, which in the big picture isn't that bad. But this woman, I guess she was so pathetic and so starved for attention. And I guess she had a little bit of personality and charisma that they made her to be like, not just a member of the group, like the focal point, the spokesperson for a group of survivors. She wasn't even in the country.
Wow. Wow.
But, you know, the thing is now, I mean, I haven't spent much time in Boston, but that Boston Marathon and that whole day, that's a big deal up there. I mean, I know the New York Marathon, that's a lot closer. That's a huge deal. And, you know, it's ironically, this year there was no New York Marathon, because of the aftermath of the hurricane. But and I'm usually one of the guys who's always saying show must go on, but it was the right thing to cancel the New York Marathon this year because there was still, they needed the cops to help clean up after the hurricane. There was still a lot of problems, and it really stunk the county. And also, I mean, there was the areas they were running through, they couldn't even run through. It was that bad.
Right.
You know, Staten Island was devastated. There was, and that was, the New York Marathon goes, all five boroughs. It's not like they're just running around Central Park.
Right.
And, and a lot of people didn't like the idea that they had to cancel, but it was just going to divert too many, police and other personnel, and it was too much, and they didn't have enough time to fix it, and it was, an act of God, and it was just, it was the right thing to do. And some people don't like it. Oh, well, that's their problem. And, but I guess, the thing is, sports are so popular, and it's part of the healing. And, Boston, so many of the players who play on the sports teams live in the city. They don't live in the suburbs. A lot of them live close to where it happened.
Sure. And the thing about it, the They consider that like it's a holiday up in Massachusetts. So and people take time off.
The Red Sox game at 11 a.m. It's a big tradition.
Absolutely. And to do that is a gutless act. And the fact is, I read it online briefly earlier today or earlier this evening that they. Have some video or some pictures of persons of interest. So they may be closing in on whoever's decided to do these acts, and we'll see what happens. But let me bring in the person from D.C. They call him Black the Bookie. What's up, my man?
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Welcome.
Touch and go. I'm still looking at this. The same message I text you guys. It's on the top of my board. Still sitting here. I have no idea how we're on, and this message is up here with a major outage. I have no idea. Telling me to reschedule. So it is what it is. I was able to download a few of the clips, and I'm downloading something else. But we were talking about Black the tragedy up in Beantown, up in Boston.
That was crazy, man. That was crazy.
And the thing about it,
I saw the video today though from the FBI. They're real good with those surveillance cameras now. I see why they put cameras up on, like, every street now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got a real good picture of those two guys.
Yep. So you can run, but you can't hide. So we'll see what happens and how long it takes for to bring these guys to justice.
I was real crazy, but I had gotten scared when I went home last night with the explosion in Texas. I nearly had to get on the phone to make sure everybody was okay out there. The fertilizer plant, that was unreal.
It's crazy. Things are popping off left and right. You don't know if it's someone or it's just an act of an accident. It's we live in a crazy time now. Where things that happen like the things in Texas are questioned. Did they ever find out what happened there?
Supposedly it was an accident.
But fertilizer can be dangerous. There are, I think, explosive elements in fertilizer.
Yeah.
Well, methane gas.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's one of the sad things about these tragedies. Afterwards, everything that happens, you think, oh no, was this a terrorist? It's one of the after effects of that type of thing. And And you know, there were maybe a lot of the, you know, the major cities have beefed up security after the Boston tragedy, and it probably prevented more because it looks like they were trying to do some other things. So, you know, I guess everybody's got to be on your toes. You always got to be on your toes, you know. And this brings up, and they already brought this up, they're reviewing security for the Super Bowl in February, which it's already well documented. I was against from the get-go. I mean, it's just, and not because I'm afraid, but it's just because of logistical reasons, I was dead set against the East Rutherford Super Bowl.
What do you mean, Jeff? You don't want something to, like the Super Bowl, to take place in your fair neck of the woods?
No. I only live about 5 miles away.
You told me where you live. Yes, I can understand that you live up
you know,
near
it
there.
Just,
so
the decision was made. You know, I mean, it's just not right. Outdoor Super Bowl in the winter at night, that doesn't work. I mean, it could be a foot of snow that day. You know, there's that chance. There's always that chance that time of year. It'd be nice if they started the game earlier, but they won't. And now the thing is, the guys who plan this, they watch the games in luxury boxes, and they get there in a limousine. These aren't the regular Joes. And they got events on both sides of the Hudson, and these guys don't realize how tough it is crossing the Hudson sometimes, you know, getting from New York to New Jersey. Yeah, it's close, but that doesn't mean it's quick. And it's going to tie up traffic something awful. And I'm not just talking about some minor inconvenience for me. I think for the people who are paying the big bucks to come to this event, you know, they're going to get more than they bargained for. You know, some poor guy from Kansas, you know, decides, hey, I'm going to take my vacation this year. I'm going to go to the Super Bowl and visit New York and go to the Super Bowl in New Jersey. And then when he's got to sit in traffic for 2 hours to get into the Lincoln Tunnel, he's not going to be happy.
You are so right. You are definitely
so right. I'm glad it's not just me. I mean, you know, you're a Jersey guy. You know this stuff. When the Giants and Jets, their ownership wanted to foot the bill for, well, they didn't want to, but they had to because we're not suckers. We wouldn't give them a new stadium. that's right. You know, because we know the thing is all these other cities, they pay, they practically give stadiums to pro teams. We know no ownership is dumb enough to leave the New York area. And if they did, they'd be replaced very quickly. So they can't pull this, oh, we're moving to San Antonio nonsense.
Right.
And our local politicians even know that. So, you know, the Giants and Jets ownerships, they put up the money for their stadium. And then, of course, passed the buck to the season ticket owners. And they really want and need the money from this Super Bowl, and that's what it's all about. And they're the ones who pushed for it, and, you know, I think the other owners did them a favor, and it's kind of almost unofficial in the NFL. You get a new stadium, they give you a Super Bowl.
Right.
They wanted it that bad, they should have put a dome on the place, but as it was, they spent $1.6 billion on the stadium without the dome. They didn't even put enough exits in the joint.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Well, tell me about it. And this is what I wanted to do, and I was able to download it. So this is to Boston. I just wanted to pay tribute to Boston for that. And we have another man on the line that likes to express his opinion, and I know he'll have an opinion on this. Mikal, welcome to the show.
What's happening, sir? What's happening, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
Well, Mikal, we were talking about what the tragedy that took place, the events that events after the fact of what happened in Boston. Your thoughts and anything else that you want to relay to us?
You know, it's real tragic what happened. I think, the act was real. It was very cowardly and it was real silly. You know, it really didn't make any sense. You know, and another thing too, you know, for the conspiracy theorists, you know, it's funny how, you know, we in the media, we all talking about Boston, and, you know, they snuck that little gunboat in real quick. That just happened real fast. But other than that, I got nothing on it. I don't know why or who or what or what's going on. Hopelessly at the mercy of the propaganda makers.
Well, we also had things that took place down in Washington, sending a deadly package, or trying to send a deadly package to the president, for one, and members of the Senate. You know, I don't get it. I don't get it. But maybe I'm missing something. Maybe one of the three of you can explain to me what's the point. Anybody?
No, I have no idea, but I can tell you a quick story. While I was on the way to Dusty Harrison's presser on Tuesday, on the way to downtown D.C., I can count and tell you offhand, I saw maybe four or five white SUVs, all either FBI or ATF or DEA, with guns hanging out the window, riding around. Now, I know it was D.C., Emancipation Day on Tuesday, so I understand some of the security, but those guys are usually out when something major went down. So I don't know if that was an overreaction to what happened in Boston, but it just shocked me walking down the street and seeing these guys driving past me.
Anyone else?
Nah, I got nothing.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on. I'm just a spectator.
Okay. All right. Well, another a huge voice for over 40 years, a player and a longtime announcer, made a lot of people's careers, including John Madden, in my opinion. Pat Summerall passed away at the age of 82. Golf, tennis, and then NFL for decades. He was the voice of one of the voices of NFL, one of the main voices. If Pat Summerall was in the building to announce your game along with either Tom Brookshire originally and then later on with John Madden, you knew the game that you were in was a big game. I have a clip that was supplied by Mr. Black. I want to play this. It's about 2 minutes long, and then I'll get you guys' thoughts.
And with another 49-yard field goal, the Giants win 20-3. That's football's finest place kicker.
I remember Pat was really was instrumental in a lot of the key Cowboy games back in the 70s, and in one of the truly magnificent announcers in the history of radio and TV, but beyond that, Pat was just was really a fine person, and I had a good friendship with Pat.
You'd like to call the plays yourself?
Well, this is something I'm working on. I'm going to work on film, and I would. I think to be a complete quarterback, you've got to have complete control of your offense, and of course, when you're 10-0, it's going to be hard to convince Coach Landry that I'm going to call the plays.
I guess it is. Roger, congratulations to you on being a world champion.
The thing I think that made Pat so great was, of course, the voice. When you heard the voice, then initially when he was working with John Madden especially, but even when he was working with Tom Brookshire before that, when you hear the voice, it's Pat Summerall, and you know it's the big game.
We've been here since Monday, and I felt like running down and playing. I have goosebumps all over. I'm glad we didn't.
Pat is such a professional, and Pat is everything. And he's so smooth. I mean, he's like silk. And I rant and rave and go off on tangents, and then Pat, in a word or two, can get you, boom, right back, and there you go.
Remember when Harry Carey died, the Chicago Cubs play-by-play man? And Vin Scully said, National broadcasters are respected. Local broadcasters are loved. And it really resonated with me because, you know, you grow fond of the people that you grow up listening to in your market. You know, it's here, it's Eric Nadel for baseball, who's been doing it for 30 years on the radio, and it's Brad Sham doing football. Well, I think Pat Summerall, even though he was a national broadcaster, he was still loved, and that's hard to do.
Didn't you coach Burt Reynolds?
Yes, I did.
At Florida State?
Yes.
Was he any good?
He was a defensive back.
I know. Was he any good, I said?
What he brought to the broadcast industry, I think he was a breath of fresh air, and I think people really enjoyed listening to him do a game. It was, I don't know, it was enjoyable. I mean, it was his voice resonated. It was just fantastic.
San Francisco and Dallas, the established champion versus the young upstarts for the championship. With a nod to the past and a look to the future.
Jeff, your thoughts?
You know, I can't say enough good things about Pat Summerall. You know, I think it was John F. Kennedy who said, success has many fathers, a failure's an orphan. You know, everybody wants to claim Pat Summerall, you know, because when your team is playing well, he usually get, you know, the number one game. So Giants, Cowboys, and Redskins fans, and probably a few other teams always say, oh, Pat's our guy. He does our games, you know. It's true, and he did a great job with it. But he really is a Giant because he also played for the Giants. So we got dibs on Pat. And he did play in the league in the 50s, was not a star. The game was very different back then. He was a backup wide receiver, and he kicked. And kicking, you know, he was an old-style straight-ahead kicker. Kicking wasn't as developed back then, so it wasn't a big part of the game. It wasn't specialized yet. He also played some defense, too. It was a very different era. And one of the few former athletes to do commentary on a sport outside of the one they played in, because he also did tennis and golf.
Right.
And I'll tell you, sometimes when I'm watching a game and I don't like the commentator, I'll think to myself, you know, I wish somebody like Summerall was doing it because you know, I'm not a big baseball fan. I watch a game once in a while, and the way some of these guys belabor a point and carry on, I just think to myself, what are they doing? You know? And Summerall, he knew that, especially when you do, well, in particular, when you do TV, you don't, as a commentator, you don't have to paint the whole picture. You just add to it. And sometimes you don't have to say much. And he understood that. And some guys, when they're doing TV, they act like they're on radio. They just do not know when to shut up, to put it bluntly. And Summerall, I mean, you know, very humble beginnings. Grew up during the Depression and afterwards, small town of Florida, raised by his aunt and uncle, and had a club foot as a kid.
Yep.
And then he goes on to kick in the NFL. Not too shabby. Achieved a lot. One of the all-time great commentators, and he's going to be missed.
You're right about that, Jeff. Mikal, your thoughts?
Jeff stole a lot of my thunder, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I did not know how much I enjoyed Pat Summerall and John Madden until they were gone.
Yeah,
I'm serious. I did not know. You know what I mean? And there's always one play that Pat Summerall will always call, and I loved it every time. He would just say, you know, it'd be like, it's first and 10, Washington Dallas at the 10-yard line. Aikman hands off to Smith up the middle. Nothing doing. I just love that shit. Just nothing doing. What? Is that a word? I mean, the dude had his own word, but man, like Jeff said, a lot of these hosts, they're not they just keep spewing, and you just want them to shut up, you know? You want them to, they could just say enough, and that would be it. And Pat Summerall just, I mean, he had the blueprint to it, you know? And, I'm really going to miss him, you know? I missed him when he left, you know? He did, like, a couple of games here and there, you know, after his he had a bout with cancer or something, but he came back. But, yeah, he's going to be sorely missed, man. I don't see a replacement.
All right, Black, before I get to you, and I get to you last for the simple reason is Pat Summerall, and I just found this out recently after he passed away, was, I would say close or very loved by the Dallas Cowboys community, including one of the bad boys of the triplets, Michael Irvin, who helped him get back into broadcasting, put his reputation on the line when Michael Irvin made it his second visit to come back to broadcasting after he had screwed up for so much. And Pat Summerall, I don't know if anybody knows this, Pat Summerall put his reputation on the line and vouched for Michael Irvin. That's why you see Michael Irvin on the air right now.
But unlike what Jeff said, we also have dibs on Pat, Jeff. We also have dibs on Pat. Pat is a good guy, man. I used to love when he made the call since McHale wanted to go there. Washington really needs to find a way to stop Charles Haley coming off the end of that line there. but growing up, I mean, I remember as a kid sitting down, man, Summerall and Madden, that was the booth of booths, man, to listen to. Any big NFC East game, Madden and Summerall was there, and they made the game enjoyable. That, I don't think it'll be another booth like that.
Yeah, you know, there was the combination and the magic with those two guys in the booth that played well
and
off
not
each
other. Forget Tom Brookshire. Before Madden moved up to the booth, Summerall's partner was Tom Brookshire, and that for a bunch of years was the A team for NFC games, and those guys were good buddies, and sometimes they were almost having too much fun doing a game.
Well, they at one point, Jeff, and from what I listened to on the. I think it was a TV program that they were having so much fun, and Brookshire was like a brother to Pat Summerall, and had to provide an intervention to Pat Summerall because he had developed a big drinking problem. So Tom Brookshire and Pat Summerall, that was a two dynamic duo first and. On and off the field, those guys were very close.
Well, I'm going to have to go back and look at some tapes because Brookshire is a little bit before my time. But if you're saying that was a good booth, I had to find some tapes for those guys.
Yeah, it was a good booth, man. It was a good booth.
And the common thread with all these with these two guys was Pat Summerall. He could spin it or just let the action spin itself, just like you guys were saying. He didn't have to talk. He let the action speak, and he may have thrown a word or two before or after the fact to just sweeten whatever you were watching. But he'll be thoroughly missed. I remember Brookshire, and I do remember quite naturally. I remember Madden with Summerall being the common factor. So. They don't make it like that anymore. So,
I would venture to say that it was because of Pat Summerall that, you know, John Madden was able to be, you know, who he was. You know what I mean? Because I didn't necessarily like him with Al Michaels. You know what I mean? That just stemmed from me not liking Al Michaels. I just really wanted him to shut up. But by that time, Madden was just in there.
How could you not like the betting Al Michaels?
Oh my God, Al Michaels would just say some stuff. You'd just be like, "Why? What in the world?" Because I remember this one time. I think it was Jeff Fegels. He was the punter, and I don't know if he was punting for the Giants or the Eagles. One or the other. I don't know. And he was like, "Okay, they're kicking off, and here out comes Jeff Fegels, who's about as old as dirt." And I was like, "Oh my God, this dude is getting on my nerves." Shut up.
He was secretly giving you the line and the spread, Mikhail. You weren't listening closely.
You know, Al Michaels, in case anybody isn't picking up on this, is one of the few commentators who will on occasion make reference to betting lines. And I've caught him do it. I mean, they're not supposed to. I mean, these guys aren't even supposed to gamble, but some of them do it. You know, but they're not supposed to because it doesn't look good, and it doesn't make sense. And I remember the one time, and there was a similar game to this year, but in particular, it was maybe, I don't know, about 10 years ago, Jim Fossil was coach of the Giants, and it was one of those situations late in the game. They had maybe a 4-point lead, and they didn't want to punt out of their end zone, so they took the safety, and those 2 points swung the point spread. And when they took that safety, Al Michaels was like, "Whoa!" You know, it was very brief, but he said something like, "Oh, Vegas is going nuts right now." And I'm sure the producer or somebody is in his ear saying, "Zip it, Al." You know, but the thing is, and I'm not saying I don't know that much about Al Michaels. I'm not saying he's a gambler. But the thing is, when you're preparing for a game, you're going to notice the line. It's part of the information. It's only one small part of it, but it does say something about the confidence that people have in the team. So, I mean, it's in most papers, the betting line. And it's funny. So Al Michaels does make reference to point spreads, not usually over-unders. And I'm surprised, you know, he didn't get a name like, you know, Vegas Al or something like that. And the thing is, surprisingly, most of the commentators, the guys who do the games, almost never make reference to fantasy football. One of the few who does is Mike Tirico. I don't know if he plays it, but he knows a little bit about fantasy football. Once in a while, he'll make that reference, which people sometimes associate fantasy football too much with gambling because the thing is, they don't always go hand in hand because a lot of the leagues are free, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Al Michaels was one of my favorites to listen to, especially when it came to that points play.
Oh, yeah. He was always well aware. Yeah.
Always well aware. Okay. All right. This is one thing I wanted to talk about. I've been posting this thing on Facebook and sharing it with everyone I could possibly share it with. You know what I'm talking about here, Black, because I texted you yesterday.
Please put the children to sleep now.
I have and I'm trying to find it now. I just had it. I don't have the audio. I don't have any audio on it at all. I wasn't able to get any audio on it. But for those who know,
like there's a 23-minute interview about this.
Is that right? Well, let me put it.
Yeah, you can check it.
Let me put it this way, Black. If you can send me the link to that, I'm definitely going to play it on Saturday. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, it happens to do with a former Jet. Now I think he's with the Arizona Cardinals.
He's a free agent now. He's not even with the Cardinals now. He's a free agent.
Okay, he's a free agent now. I'm talking about a cornerback. No, he's a safety or whatever he is. He happens to be
too sweet.
Well, I would say he's a Cardinals player, former Cardinals player, Kerry Rhodes. I've seen a few pictures of Mr. Rhodes or Mrs. Rhodes, if you want to put it that way. With his arm around his companion, of the same sex and very feminine-looking partner has denied that he is gay. But if you watch these pictures, why even deny it? Why even go through it? Because I'm telling you right now.
What?
You are out of the closet, my man. It's no two ways about it. Black said he had said something about this last week on I don't know whatever he had posted it on, but I happened to catch it. I don't know how I caught it, but I'm looking at one of these pictures right now with Carrie Rose kissing his male friend on the forehead and with his arm around. And I'm telling you, come on, man. Come on, man. If it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, and it sounds and looks like a duck, what could it be? A duck.
What is it with the Jets? Do they kind of like scout those kind of guys? Because me, you guys could Google this. Another recent former Jet. I'll give you a hint. He's better at catching bottles of booze than he is at football. He does the commercials for 5-Hour Energy. Hint, hint. He got busted. He was driving through some public park, which was a gay hangout. He got busted driving through that area at like 3:30 in the morning with some dude in his car.
Really?
You know? Yeah, you could Google it. I mean, that doesn't mean it's 100%.
Who are you talking about, Jeff? I'm trying to think who 5-Hour Energy. Who the heck is that?
A guy who played for you guys who couldn't catch a cold, really.
Yeah. The guy who on a Monday night game tried catching a football in his face mask.
In his face mask.
Yeah.
I'm lost. I am lost.
Should we give you the initials?
Why not just give me the name?
All right, Braylon Edwards.
Are you serious?
Braylon Edwards? Wow.
Wow.
I mean, to tell you the truth, I could care less. I really could. Because I remember when Dave Brown was quarterback for the Giants, I remember thinking to myself, everybody was screaming and moaning, because believe me, he was no Phil Sims. He was no anything. He wasn't even a Jeff Hostetler. And I remember thinking to myself once, if somebody said something, you know, Dave Brown was so bad. At that point, if somebody said, hey, I heard Liberace is a great quarterback, I'd be like, sign him. You know, bring him on the team. I don't care. Can he throw? You know? And that's the bottom line, you know? But now, just coincidentally today, and this gets filed under No Poop Sherlock, Brittany Griner came out. Was anybody shocked? I mean, I don't care. But really wasn't much of a surprise, you know?
I was talking about this to someone today. I watched a Brittany Griner interview, over the weekend. And I was sitting there with my wife, and I'm looking at Brittany Griner with what it looked like a lump going up and down under her chin. And I've watched her play, and I have yet to see anything protruding from her chest. And listen to her voice, it sounds almost a little bit lighter than my voice. So, like
almost
I said.
A little bit? Oh, come on, man.
Well, let me put it this way.
She got a voice like Melvin Franklin. That guy used to sing with the Temptations. Are you kidding me?
No doubt.
Well, you know, I'm trying to be nice here. So I'm saying to myself.
Oh, nah, man, don't try to be nice. Be real, please.
Okay.
I will.
Well, let me put it this way. I tell to my wife, that is not a woman. That is a
exactly.
guy. That is a guy. You cannot tell me anything different. I cannot believe that this is a woman. There's nothing. It's a guy. It looks like a guy with some feminine features, but it looks to me walks, talks, and acts like a duck. So to me, it's a duck. Mikal, I know you got some. I know you got something on this.
Man, no. The only thing I got on this, I have long thought that I need to see that youngin's birth certificate. I need to see her long form birth certificate. You know what I'm saying? I need to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see that. That's the only thing that is gonna make me leave it alone. Other than that, I've always thought she looked like a dude. She talked like, the first time I heard her speak, you know, because I had just been, like, watching a couple games here and there, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I never watched, like, a full game. I caught a couple of quarters, you know what I'm saying, a few highlights
mm-hmm.
here and there. But the
mm-hmm.
very first time that I heard her speak, it was on ESPN, and they were
mm-hmm.
talking to her, and they were talking about how confident they were, you know, to play in the tournament, and she was like, yeah, you know, we'll play the Heat. I was like, I looked back in that chat, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, wait a minute, hold up, somebody stop this, and I kept looking back and forth at it, and, you know, and I thought about discussing it on my page, but I was just like, nah, I'm not going to do it because, you know, even when we just put up the little thing because she, because she play in the NBA, that started
mm-hmm.
a 100 comment, you know, mess. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? So, no, I wasn't going to touch it. I was already tired from a bunch of other stuff, but no, you can't tell me. I need to see the long form birth certificate. I need to see that. I'm not trying to do a physical inspection. No, I'll leave that to you guys.
That's for a doctor. But, I'm not trying to be mean, but it is rare. But there are some people who have the traits of both genders, you know.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're born with a gun and a holster. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be mean. I feel bad for those people. And it does happen. And I think it was on Outside the Lines. There was
uh-huh.
a transgender, I think is the polite term. There was a transgender person. I think this person, I don't know if they were born with both parts, but was in the process of changing from a man to a woman, and they were letting this athlete play on the women's team, college basketball. I think it was they were able to do it because it wasn't a big star. It was a big
mm-hmm.
star, maybe people would have complained. And I guess that could be a big issue with sports is as a transgender athlete. And the thing is with Brittany Griner, I mean, I've seen the highlights and a very dominant player on the women's game. The women's game is very different from the men. We got into this, I think, last week or the week before.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see her, on the NBA, which is the highest level. I don't see her being a great player because 6'8 is a small forward and she doesn't have that kind of game. And the thing is, I mean, it cracks me up. You know, she dunks the ball. Whoop-de-doo, she's 6'8. 6'8 dudes, if he can't dunk the ball, there's something wrong with him. You know,
right,
I remember
right.
when I was a kid, there was a guy, David Thompson, was 6'4", could dunk from about midcourt. You know,
right.
I mean, what was Jordan? Jordan was under, was he 6'6", maybe? Jordan was, you know, most prolific dunk player of all time. Dominique Wilkins was 6'8". That guy would dunk from practically midcourt, you know. He was probably the king of the dunks before Jordan came into the league. Just, you know, Jordan had a better all-around game than Dominique Wilkins. And Dominique Wilkins, actually, his name's been coming up a lot lately because I think there's a good segue that he's one of the few NBA players to come back from an Achilles injury in a positive way. And maybe that's that's going to be the inspiration of Kobe. I think Kobe might be done. Maybe in 2 years he might try to come back in Europe or something. Excuse me. But that Achilles is a killer for an NBA player. I mean, Tiny Archibald came back from that, but was nowhere near as dominating as he was before. You know, after the Achilles, you know, Tiny was just a serviceable point guard. Before that, he led the league in assist in points, which is, I think, the only guy ever to do that. But, yeah, you know, Brittany's a great women's player, with all due respect, but not an NBA prospect. There might be one day a woman who could play in the NBA, but it'd probably be a guard, not a front court player.
All right, Black, you've been sitting by the wayside. You want to comment on this?
Yeah, I'm going to speculate on Brittany Griner, but I just know for Curry Rhodes, I know none of you guys on the show will walk with me in open-toed sandals on the beach, slipping out of a pineapple.
Some colorful open-toed sandals.
It just isn't right. I know McCown wouldn't wear blue pants. No, the Meister definitely wouldn't wear blue tight fitted pants.
Open-toed sandals. And not to interrupt you, Black, but the McCall, I messaged this to you Facebook, so if you want to go to the link that you haven't seen.
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay.
Did you see the water picture, McCall?
Yeah, I seen it.
The two is in the water, too? Oh, my goodness. the interview was even nastier.
Really? Send me that link, Black.
The interview was terrible.
Send me the link, Black, please.
He says not only did he get done by him, but he screwed him like he was his wife. I said, get out of here.
Wow.
I want to play that on Saturday, Black.
Oh, man. Good luck dissecting it. It's a 23-minute interview.
That's all right. I'll do my best to try to do what I want to do with it, but I want to hear it. I'll listen to the whole thing and find out what I want to try to pull out of it.
All right, no problem. More power to you. Good luck.
Well, there's one more thing I wanted to go, and it's taking place right now as we speak. Not one more thing, but before that, I'm going to get an opportunity for Black, because Black took the time out of his busy schedule to go to a presser, and oh my God, water tube, oh boy. Took the time to go up to this presser, and I want to be able to play these. These two clips, one from Father and the other one's from the Son. Which one do you want me to play first, Black? Does it make a difference?
You can probably go Son first. And
then
Father.
Dad.
Before you even cue those up, let me give a big shout out to Team Dusty Harrison and those people over there. Shout out to Rock Newman, Jeffrey, even Wale, all that came through for the press for Dusty Harrison. Local boxer here that's 14-0 now. He has a big fight coming up May 18th at UDC. This fight is being sponsored by Jordan Brand. You can contact Mike Walters. You can contact Buddy Harrison. You can go right to Dusty Harrison's site, www.dustyharrison.com. The ticket information will be there. We got a rising star in the area coming up. And for him to have Jordan Brand backing him and have guys like Jeff Reed from All In Entertainment, which can fit the Phil Ivey, the poker player, and Monte Ellis and the Milwaukee Bucks. It's a big, big thing for this fight. It's a big, big thing for this area. We can try and bring championship-level fights back to the area. It starts May 18th. This will be broadcast on Epic Television. I don't know what channel that is. You're going to have to do some research to find it, but it will be their first live broadcast on Epic Television. But, yeah, you can let those run now, man.
Okay, the first clip is from Dusty Harrison, the fighter himself.
Yes. It's Michael right here from the FSP Crew Show. First, want to appreciate Dusty Harrison for all the retweets, trying to make sure he gets a big name out there because he's a great talent from the D.C. area. Dusty, I see that Wale came out for you today. That's a big, big thing Wale did. But we also know you're affiliated with Shy Glizzy as well. Which one of the guys going to open up for you for the fight?
Oh, I'm leaving that up to Jeff. You know, I like Shy Glizzy, Light Show, and Wale, so they're all friends. Fine with me.
All right, no problem. Epix is behind you now. Jordan Brand is behind you. You are gaining a lot of popularity throughout the area, especially with the DMV. The home team is definitely behind you. So every time I ride on the South Side, I hear your name in conversation. How does that feel?
Oh, it's good. You know, you got to start with your hometown. If they don't like you, I mean, who will? So I'm glad to have, you know, in D.C., I just have so many people come out to fight. I really don't know why everybody likes me so much, but, you know, I'm enjoying it.
Still young in the game, still young in the game. What are you in the gym right now working on to try to perfect to get such as a style that they talked about earlier in the press conference?
Right now, I'm doing everything that I did, just more intense. You know, as I get older, I'm getting stronger. You know, maybe I become more of a puncher and do a little less, more offense, a little less. I don't know. So I'm just working out. Right now, I just know I'm in the gym doing the same thing I've always did, the same tradition, just harder, more intense, and more rounds of everything. So.
Okay, and we know Mike Walters is helping promote the fight. Can you give the people Mike Walters' number right quick if they want to purchase tickets?
Well, I can give you my dad's number. He'll have tickets too. I don't know Mike by heart, but 202-320-5576, and you can be able to get tickets there or on my website, DustyHarrison.com.
Okay.
Just got out of construction today. It's working now.
All right, we appreciate that. Dusty, thanks for the time. Good luck to you on May 18th.
Thanks.
Oh, look good.
All right, the next one is the dad himself, who has a story in himself. But let's listen to what the dad has to say. Great interview that you had with Dusty Harrison, and it continues with Buddy Harrison.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Michael Wright back with you from the FSB Crew Show. We just got finished talking with Dusty Harrison. Now we're here with Buddy Harrison from Old School Boxing Gym. Buddy, this is a great, great opportunity for your son here. Jordan Brand is involved. Everlast is involved. Tell me, what does this feel like, the combination of all this coming together right now, especially with Jeff Freed and all in the same?
Well, there's a lot more involved than that, but anyway, you know, the pressure's there a little bit, probably on me. It doesn't seem to bother Dusty whatsoever. In fact, I used to think something was wrong with him. I remember fighting myself, and I would, I had butterflies. I'm talking about half an hour before the fight. This kid, just sitting back, talking on the phone or texting, it doesn't seem to bother him at all. It feels good. This is what we wanted. I wanted to stay in Washington, D.C. He was born here. He was raised here. He still lives in the exact same apartment that he was born in. So it means everything to stay right here in the nation's capital and stick by the people that stuck by us as a kid.
He has a big following going on. We see Wale had came out. I asked him earlier about who was he going to have open up for him? Because we know Shy Glizzy is also a big supporter. So, you know anything about that?
Well, he's a friend with Shy Glizzy. He's friends with Light Show, Wale. You know, I love for them all to open up for him. You know, I learn about these guys because of him. I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't know who Shy Glizzy, Light Show, or Wale was. You know, I'm 53 years old. Now I know them, and I find myself listening to them all the time, you know.
All right. Can you tell the people where your gym is located?
Well, we're in Washington, D.C., and now we move to a bigger spot in Fort Washington, Maryland. It's at the racetrack right in Fort Washington, and people are welcome to come there anytime they want.
Okay. And is there a number for the gym where people can reach you at?
202-320-5576.
Okay. I'd like to thank you for this interview, and we'll catch you on May 18th.
Thank you. You know who that is? You do know?
All right, Mike. That was Mike Wright, Black Wright, with those two interviews. Great job, Black. And what else you got to say before we get out of here?
Oh, yeah, great interviews. And I got to give props to a former guest, Perry Green, from Afro.com. He wasn't able to make it out, so I was pulling double duty. I was working for the FSB Crew Show. I was also working for the Afro.com that day. Excuse me. So my article from the write-up should be on the Afro.com site either tomorrow or on Saturday. So I'll be looking forward to seeing that printed out.
And what's the site again?
The Afro.newspaper.com. Afro.com.
Afro.com? Okay. Macau, You got anything before we get out of here?
Nah, ain't got too much. Since we talk about, since we talk about boxing, you know, you got Zab Judah and Garcia coming up next week.
You got a big fight Saturday, Mikhail.
Which one is that?
Canelo Alvarez.
Canelo Alvarez. Canelo Alvarez supposed to be getting
that's
it
Saturday
in.
Night.
Yep. Nonito, did you watch Nonito get knocked out?
I was thoroughly unimpressed with Donaire. Thoroughly unimpressed. and that was my first time watching him.
What?
Yeah, that was my first time watching him. Rigondo, or however you pronounce it, he's a beast, man.
Yeah, he looked good, but you know what, though? I thought he could do a little bit more, you know what I'm saying? But the way he handled Nonito, he should be running things for a good long time. You don't want to pay attention to him. Of course, you got Mayweather coming up, and then it's a lot of good fights coming up between now and June. So check them out.
All right, Mr. Joker, what you got?
Well, it's been a quick show. Glad we were able to do it tonight. And I don't know if anybody saw this, but Eddie Jordan, I think he agreed to terms to try to resurrect the hoops program at Rutgers. I think,
excellent pick.
The reason it took a while is Rutgers is known for being cheap when it comes to paying the sports coaches and a lot of other people. And you know, if they're gonna play with the big boys in the Big Ten, they gotta pay like the big boys. And then I think, you know, this kind of situation when you're getting over a scandal, you need somebody who's a name, you know, a good name,
mm-hmm.
and a guy with a good reputation. And Eddie Jordan might be that guy, and I hope he is for him, for Rutgers, for everybody. I hope, because but they can't, you know, they can't pull this Penny Ante nonsense. You know, you're in the big leagues now. This is what you wanted. You gotta play by those rules now. I mean, Eddie Jordan's had I think 3 head coaching jobs in the NBA, so who knows if he'd get another. But hey, being a head coach in the Big Ten is pretty good, and got nowhere to go with but up with Rutgers. So best of luck to him.
Yep. Okay, one last thing. The NFL schedule has come out today. And for those fantasy football players, fans, players who participate in fantasy football, the first 5 teams with the hardest schedule are the Panthers, the Lions, the Saints, the Rams, and the Ravens. The one with the supposedly weakest strength of schedule is the Broncos with the weakest schedule, the Chargers, the Colts, Raiders, Chiefs. And let me put it this way. The Buffalo Bills and Houston Texans and the Chiefs are all tied with the weakest schedule. So running backs and wide receivers on those teams will be plucked early and often from fantasy football.
Hey, hey, Jerry. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Do you have the Cowboys schedule in front of you?
Do I have the cap? Well, I can find this Cowboys schedule, man.
Let me know when we play against Kerry Rowe's boyfriend and those Redskins there.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Hold on a minute here. Let me get the schedule up here. Give me a minute. Come on. Let me do this. Oh, don't do that to me now. Bear with me here, Black. I'll get the schedule up for you.
Oh, no problem. I think that you guys open up with the Ravens, I believe.
Is that a fact? We open up with the Ravens?
I think so.
That's no big deal. That's just Marvel marked that in the win column. Mark that right in the win column.
I'm sorry, Jerry, but I'm not paying attention to your mob or the Atlanta Falcons until the playoffs.
Playoffs? You talking about playoffs?
No disrespect. Straight up, no disrespect. Are they going to get them a wide receiver? They need another wide receiver, man.
Yeah, you know, I was hoping they were going to grab Greg Jennings, but for some reason they didn't decide to grab him. In my opinion, that would have been a real good fit. But what the hell do I know? I'm just a fan.
Brandon Levin is still out there.
So what is it that you want to know, Black?
The two dates on the schedule that I need to circle down, as I do every year.
Okay, let me see. Where the hell are the Cowboys at? The Cowboys play in the NFL? Oh, yeah, they did it. There they are.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
You just better be lucky the Houston Texans facility wasn't there that fertilizer plant, buddy.
You want to know when the Washington Redskins or the Giants, or who do you want to find out?
The Washington Featherskins.
Okay, the Washington Redskins play first, let me see, you play them home October 13th, which is a Thursday night game on NBC. No, Sunday night game on NBC.
Ooh,
and
okay.
And the other one is the next-to-last game, December 22nd.
Oh, there they go again with this on the schedule,
huh? In Washington. That's a Sunday, December 22nd. Next to last game. Let me put
why
it this
can't
way.
We get it on with these guys from the jump, man.
Let me put it this way.
Man.
Listen to this, Black. The last four games that you have in the regular season. Are December 9th. No. You wish they were. Monday night in Chicago. Sunday night, December 15th versus Green Bay.
Oh boy.
Sunday, December 22nd at Washington. And the end of season, Sunday, December 29th, you play home against Philadelphia.
not too concerned with the home game. Not too concerned with the game, man.
Okay.
Going from Green Bay to Washington back to back weeks, that's gonna be tough.
You got Oakland. Let me put it this way: your last 6 weeks are brutal. You got a bye week, week 11, and then after that bye week, you play New York. At New York, then you go home and play Oakland, at Chicago, home against Green Bay, at Washington,
home against Philly.
Okay. Huh?
No, I'm saying the Green Bay. I thought we went to Green Bay. I didn't know the Green Bay game was home.
No. Green Bay game is home. But it's away at New York, home against Oakland, away at Chicago, home against Green Bay, away at Washington, and home against Philly.
What's the Thanksgiving matchup?
Thanksgiving matchup November 24th, right?
Yeah.
Is that 24th or the 28th? No, 28th. It's Thursday. Oakland. Home against Oakland.
Oh, Oakland? Oh, okay. Thanks, good day.
All right. And all I got to say is good luck. Good luck.
Yeah,
with
good
that
luck.
Being said... Yeah. With that being said, I'm not gonna end this show with the theme song of the FSP Crew show. I'm gonna end it, and Mikhail may not like it, but I'm gonna end it this way. I'm gonna end it with Neil Diamond. Who's Neil Diamond? Black and probably Mikhail is gonna say.
Who Neil Diamond is.
Okay.
I know who Neil Diamond
is. I'm gonna end this.
I think it's a guy with the last name of Diamond. I have no clue.
Neil Diamond. It's a traditional song that is sung in Boston, and I'm going to end this song. I'm going to end this program with a Neil Diamond song called Sweet Caroline. With that being said, you guys, I'll see you next week.
Dun, dun, dun.
And we're out of here.
Sweet Caroline.
Where it began, I can't begin to know it, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, burden runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? One, touching more.